Good morning. Grace and peace to you as we gather together today in the name of the living Christ to worship God. Surely God is with us in this virtual space as we gather to worship together this morning in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Lord of diversity and union, we call upon you this day to open our hearts to your love, our ears to your words, our eyes to see the needs of those both near and far, and our spirits to do your will. Be with us and give us courage and inspiration for the future of your world. It is in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Welcome again to our virtual worship service this morning at Parma Christian Church. You are welcome to join us each Sunday morning on Facebook Live at 10:45 a.m. For any visitors who may be joining with us today, I am Reverend Nancy Dunn, the interim pastor here at Parma Christian Church. Dick Woodward is our organist and pianist. Daryl Cravanos is our tech and camera guru. And our elder for the day is Marianne Woodward. There are two items that I want to remind you of as we worship together. The first is that we will celebrate communion with one another today, as we believe that your table is an extension of Christ's table wherever you may be. So please know that you're welcome to gather whatever you may have in your home to serve as bread and juice for you today so that we can celebrate communion with one another. The second is an opportunity for you to give your offering. Your generosity is greatly appreciated as you continue to support our ministries here at Parma Christian Church. You may use our online tool called Givelify, or you may mail in your offering to Parma Christian Church, 7000 Ridge Road, Parma, Ohio, 44129. Our giving tool online is found on our church website, www.parmachristianchurch.org. Our scripture reading for today is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. These are the words written from Paul to the letter to the church in Philippi, and he is writing to them while he is in jail. Hear these words from scripture today. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodiah and I urge Synecdoche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, and whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I'm referring to be in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Several years ago, in a sleepy little village in western New York, the community woke up to quite a surprise one Monday morning. Someone or a couple of people had vandalized several of the buildings in the town. Buildings across the town were spray painted with graffiti. Many of the messages were malicious in nature, but one was clearly a cry for help. There's only about 2,000 people who called this small town home. Several churches dotted the town square, which was at the heart of the community. One of those churches was a little Episcopal church that was built in the Victorian era. The building was historical. It's a typical Victorian-style wooden building, painted white. Typically, you know, what we think of when we think of churches in New England. But on this Monday morning, the pastor, the priest of that church, began his day like any other. He drove up to the church, and there, on the side of the building, someone had spray painted in huge letters the phrase, "Can I still get to heaven if I kill myself? Can I still get to heaven if I kill myself?" Now, other messages spray painted around the town were typical messages that you would expect to find in graffiti, profanities, vulgar language, things that I would not repeat in public. But the message on the church was slightly different. Who knows why someone wrote that on the wall of the church? Who knows what was going on in that person's mind at that moment? Maybe he or she was just copying some lyrics from a rap song that he knows. Or maybe he or she was asking a serious question that was pertinent to their own life situation. Who knows? But now that question was out there for the whole town to see spray painted on the side of that church. And the church had to decide what to do next. How were they going to respond? Now, before I tell you what they did, I want you to think. If you drove up to our church tomorrow and saw a question like that spray painted on the outside of our building, what would you do? Would you be mad at the vandals? Would you call up the trustees, run to the paint store, grab some paint to cover it up or some cleaning products to try to clean it off the walls? Or would you answer the question? You see, the priest and the lay leaders of that church gathered together to discuss the problem before them. How should they respond to this question spray painted on the side of their church? They asked themselves, was the person who wrote this suicidal? Or were they just being shocking for the joy or provocation, an adolescent equivalent of a toddler learning he can cause effect in his world by shouting no? The people and the clergy of that church, they prayed and they talked and then decided that it didn't really matter that day, that they wanted to take some time to sit with it. And they also discovered that being angry or feeling violated or even scrubbing and repainting the walls were not the most important things that they could do on that Monday. Instead, they spoke to the unmet need of those around them. They answered the question. They answered the shocking question, that cry for help. They found that they had found written in huge blue spray painted letters on the side of their white painted church building. The minister borrowed a can of spray paint from a neighbor, and in green spray paint, in large letters right next to the question, the minister wrote, "God loves you. With no exceptions. God loves you with no exceptions." You see, the priest and the people of that small church also answered the implied question, what do I need to do to be loved? And all that we need to do to be loved has already been done for us. Imagine, in large letters, using the side of this church building as a social media platform to express love and grace to someone who is in desperate need of help. What would you write? What kind of impact do you think a message like that would have? The church had talked about the way to respond, and somehow they decided that a letter to the editor didn't seem to be the right response. Who reads those letters anymore? Certainly not the person who wrote that message on the side of the church. On the church's Facebook page, the priest mentioned that the culprits probably wouldn't read that letter to the editor. They probably wouldn't even see the post on Facebook because the person who probably wrote it uses TikTok or Snapchat or something like that. But the person would see the spray-painted answer on the side of the church building. The culprits would see it, and so would so many others who saw it too and drove by the church every day. And also the hundreds, if not thousands, of others who eventually saw the story when it went viral on the internet. Now, maybe it's not the way you or I would respond to an act of vandalism like that. Our initial instinct is not to do that, not to write something else on the wall. But I think it was the courageous way. And I think it says a lot about the resilience of that small community. You see, the church only averages about 40 people on a Sunday morning, at least at that time. And like many churches, it's a small church with a once and glorious past that is facing an uncertain future. Like so many churches today. But that doesn't mean it doesn't have a message for the world around it. It does. We do. A message filled with love and grace. But both the church and the people on the other side of the doors, they've become disconnected. In the words of that priest of that church, he said, "I think people in our parishes sometimes think there's our church, the Holy Land on the other side of the world, and nothing in between. This experience has opened us to all kinds of new questions in the local community and the wider world about how people become disenchanted with the church and how they deal with their problems. We can't help but pay attention." You see, we can't help but to pay attention. We know what is happening in our churches. And this is even before COVID-19. We know about low attendance. We know about the fact that we are no longer connecting with people outside our walls. But we're not sure of how to connect with them. And we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to what is happening around us. That church literally had a question written on the side of the wall that called them into action. It called them to notice that the world around them is in pain. That the world around them is changing. And they decided to change a little bit with it. They did not change the essence of themselves or what they believe. Instead, they changed their form of communication in order to address a need in the community. Think about Paul for a minute. When Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was sitting in a jail cell. The Philippians had heard about his imprisonment. They had prayed for him and sought to send some kind of help to him. He was very grateful for their concern and their prayers, and he shares with them the secret of his resilience. Rejoice in the Lord. Give thanks. Keep practicing the faith, and know that we can do all things with Christ who gives us the strength. That's the secret to being resilient. Notice, though, that none of those answers were included the words, stay the same. None of those answers included the words, keep worshiping exactly as you have done for the last 20, 30, 40, 50, even more than that, years. None of those words kept saying, require people to wear the same clothes that they always wear when they come to church, their Sunday best. None of those words said, keep the same music. None of those words said, keep the people looking exactly like you in your church. None of those words said, keep everything the same because it makes you feel safe and secure. All of those words pointed to the love that God has for us. That love is what stays the same. You see, Paul learned fairly early in his ministry that he had to adapt his method of communicating the message of God's love depending on his audience. His message about God's love and grace stayed the same. That was the essence, the values. That message of love stayed the same. But no matter where he went, no matter how many times he was thrown in jail or distressed, Paul remained resilient because he truly felt and understood that he could do all things with Christ by his side. But he also realized that he had to change how he reached people depending on where he was and what community he was preaching in and how to reach them through what worked for them to hear that same message of God's love. God's love, that's the only message that stayed the same. That's the only thing that mattered. If someone spray painted a statement on the side of our building tonight that asked that question, if I killed myself, would I go to heaven? What would you say? Or if someone painted a new phrase on the side of our church tonight, what do you think it would say? Would it have that same question found on the side of the church in our story? Or would it be related to racism? Would it be related to white supremacy? Would it be related to the hate that divides our country right now? Would it be a statement about poverty or hunger or violence? What are the cries for help that our neighbors and friends, our youth, the young adults in the community around us, what are their questions that they are too afraid to ask in public that they might spray paint on the side of a wall of a church? What are the things that concern us all? And then more importantly, what would our answer be? You know, even though things stay the same for the most part in our lives, life can come at us really fast, just like those commercials that we see on TV where that's the catchphrase. Life comes at you fast. And it can change pretty quickly. And I think we already know that because we're experiencing it completely as a whole community for the first time. When March 13th rolled around and we were told by the governor that we couldn't go to school, we couldn't go to our work, we needed to stay home, life changed really fast. And those changes can overwhelm us. But when we are spiritually prepared, change doesn't have to overwhelm us completely. Paul's surroundings changed all the time as he moved from location to location. I imagine being put in jail time after time after time can be overwhelming. He adapted to the different cultures that he went to. He kept his faith strong even in the adversity of sitting in a jail cell. When he was faced with prison, hunger, and death, Paul held to his core values: grace, love, and faith. All that he found in God through Jesus Christ. Those were the same values of the people of that little church in New York. Those are the same values that we have. The question for us is, how do we share that grace, that love, that hope, and that faith with a world that so desperately needs it? How do we reach beyond the doors into a world that looks vastly different today than it did even 5, 10, 15, 20, or 50 years ago? Do we spray paint a message on the wall of our church? Do we live it out in our lives daily in profound ways? Do we find new ways to connect with those who think that they are unlovable? Those are very difficult questions that we face and many churches around our country face. I don't know all of the answers to those questions. I don't know that any of us really do. But those are the questions that Christ calls us to answer. How do we share that grace, that love, mercy, hope, faith? How do we share that with a world that is hurting and in need? Amen.